Amen. All right, guys, this morning we're going to talk about how to be more than a conqueror. How to be a conqueror. There's so many Bible stories. I was racking my brain just going, God, I can think of this one. I can think of this one. I can think of this one. Which one do I get to go to? Thinking of victory verses is one thing. Thinking of stories of conquering is another thing. And the funny part is when you conquer, somebody that's a conqueror isn't just somebody who won. You know, if you've ever watched a boxing fight or a mixed martial arts fight or whatever, there's a winner. You know, at least most of the time there's a winner. Sometimes it looks like they're both losers, but there's a winner, somebody who wins. And so sometimes you see somebody come up and they're like, hey, this person won. And you're like, hey, wow, the winner. This is the winner of the, and sometimes it's an upset and sometimes it isn't. But every once in a while, there's somebody who wins a lot. Somebody that wins a lot is a conqueror.
Yeah, amen.
They're the kind of person that when they come in, they conquer. They're intimidating just them being there. If they're in the ring with you, you don't want to be in the ring with that person. Like, you know, if they set you up and they're like, hey, you're going to go fight somebody, and then that person, the somebody who you're fighting is this well-known conqueror, you're just going to be like, no. Why? What? No. Do I look like I'm in the league of that guy's league? That's why we're talking about being a conqueror. I'm not just talking about how to get a win, put one W in the column for you in your life. I'm talking about being a conqueror.
Amen.
Somebody who, when you're coming, the enemy's going, hey,
come on.
You know, your problems start doing that ahead of time. Your situations start doing that ahead of time. So this morning we're going to read in Joshua, and we're going to hear about one of the stories that I love. As a kid, I loved this story. I've talked about this before as far as the story, because it's hard not to. If you ever go to Israel, this is a big thing. It's a well-known story in the Bible. You probably have heard about Jericho in Joshua 6.
Amen.
And we're going to read on it this morning, because Jericho had so many deep things going on when that city was met by the Israelites, when they came to that city. Not just the path that they had to take to get to Jericho, just the fact that they're over here in the wilderness and they have to go up kind of around the mountain. If you've ever went around a mountain, like climbed up on a mountain, went up and then start come down the other side, you didn't guess that you went around a mountain, you knew it. As a matter of fact, if we did this morning a little field trip with the church just to see how we did, and I took you all out to the biggest hill we could find and go and let's climb it, not every one of us would be at the top of that hill by the end of the day. Some of us would be like Miguel did when he was on that biking tour he did with my family members who were not biking. They decided to go to one of the most popular in the world. I think it's number two or something in the world, off-road biking courses that there is, this mountain that you get to bike down. But they decided this cool thing that they didn't know where the start was, so they started at the bottom and tried to bike up. If you've ever seen one of those things on TV where the people are biking down and you're like, oh man, and they jumped and they dropped that, they were biking up it. So picture Miguel on a bike, biking up one of those hills. This is what was happening to him. And then he was with these other people who kept stopping. So one of the benefits of kind of being a bigger guy is once we get going, there's certain laws of physics that help us to keep in that direction. But once gravity gets a hold of the stop and everybody's like, whoa, 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 and you stop, you're just going, it takes me 10 times the energy of you guys just to get this thing going again. But at one point, they stopped. He had to emergency stop. And then he just like laid down. This is the picture I get of it. I don't care how he retells it, because this is the picture I get of it. And he's like, go on without me. Half out of frustration because you guys keep stopping, and half out of what are we doing here? We don't win anything. If at the end of this, if we make it to the top, we don't get a medal. This is all, you know, there's no win for this. And that's the way a lot of us would be. We would just quit halfway up the mountain and be like, you know, go for the summit yourselves. Like, I'm here. This is where I live now. Send my mail. I'm just saying it took the Israelites a little bit of work to get around to where Jericho even was. They had to go through a wilderness. Do you remember the wilderness? That's where they came out of. Do you remember? They weren't just in the wilderness for a little bit, guys. Not 10 years, not 20 years, not 30 years. You hear what I'm saying? Maybe you spent a couple months in your wilderness. Maybe you spent a couple years, but you didn't spend 40 of them, and you didn't die off. You know, a generation died off. Imagine, what did Ma and Pa do? Ma and Pa, let's see, they died in the wilderness. What are you doing? I'm climbing a mountain. But don't worry, good things are coming. What's this? Jericho. Biggest fortified city in all the land. Yay. This is what we get to face. I'm just setting the scene for what's going on. Why? Because Israel, what do you want when you're in the wilderness for 40 years? I'll tell you some things you want. Water without dust in it. It's one thing I want. Food without sand in it. You know, skin without sunburns all the time. Feet without sand on them all the time, right? You want some covering over your head. What do you want? You want a home. What do we want?
Money.
Anybody here doesn't want to have a nice family home situation? Anybody here who doesn't want to have a nice home in your life? You ever moved homes? Created a new home out of a different home? You know what that's like, Ernesto. You basically have worked in a field where people are getting new places to live all the time. So you see people getting, you know, a new house, new house, new house. And go figure, you're getting into that with business as well. Get a new place to stay. This is home away from home, right? Home is important. Home is a place you feel safe.
Yes.
Home is a place that you can set your stuff up.
Yes.
You know, I was talking with Rebecca about this a little bit ago when it comes to decoration, because if I rent something, it's different than when I buy something, isn't it?
Yes.
When you rent something, would you go to a hotel room and be like, I'm going to paint this wall. This is not the color I... Would you? No. Why? It's not mine. What if you're staying there for months, though? Then it makes sense to do that. Like, no, it's still not home, right? It's not home. There's a lot of romantic home is where you are. You know, you are my home. Like, that's not true. That's romantic, but it's still not true. Home is a home. That's why we call it that. Like, you don't, God help you if you start calling your spouse, you know, a house. You're in trouble. So in this story, these people, these tired, have been in the wilderness, have experienced their family, lost ones. Guys, this wasn't a, you know, oh, we have had nothing but victory people. They came, this generation came from either being a slave or being in the Dust Bowl watching their relatives die and not seeing anything for 40 years. Nothing. You might have had a dry patch where you're not seeing a lot of signs from God. How about nothing for 40 years while God's saying, just die off? This, I'm just setting the scene. This is where Israel's coming from. This is depressing at the very best.
Come on.
This would not be, if this was a Disney show, it wouldn't make it. This is all negatives, no positives, it's all depressing. This is where they're coming from. And then what do they see? Jericho. Giant city, huge thick walls, fortified. Like, Jericho's known. This is a known place. This is a known disaster area. This is a known danger, right? People there knew it. The people that were in the promised land knew it. And Israel certainly knew it, because when they went in, they said, well, there's some baddies in this area. There's some bad people live in this country, in this place. And then they go in and they're like, well, this is the worst of the worst of the worst. Like, we heard there was giants in the land, but this city's giant. You can literally race. They're racing.
Come on.
Not on foot.
Come on.
With chariots on top of the wall.
Come on.
Side by side, not in a line.
Come on.
Like, this is not a normal city. These aren't normal walls. How do you beat that? Throw a spear at it. Imagine how nowadays it would be intimidating. In modern day. Modern day you'd be like, yeah, we need something to fly over that. What are you gonna do? Look at how tall it is, look at how wide it is. What? You're giving me sticks, stones, and dust, and a bunch of people that have been in the wilderness, and now we're gonna deal with this giant impenetrable wall. I'm just setting the scene because it's important. The scene's important.
Yeah.
Why is it important? Because this can be your life too. You could be going through a dry spell. You could be wanting nothing more than just to find a safe place, have a little bit of peace, get a little bit of a moment. You might be wanting the same thing Israel wanted, and you might be facing what seems like the biggest monster of them all. Oh, it's scary. Oh, it's big. It's impossible. And that might be what you're looking at. That might be what it seems like. That might be your financial situation. It might be your emotional situation, your relationship situation, and you can go on and on. It doesn't matter. Your worst day is still better than this day, is what I'm saying. This is not a movie. This was a legitimate, real, happened. They stood there. It's a place. You can go visit this place. They're looking at it. And then the city gets shut up, and they get ready, and they go, hey, go ahead, army. Do your thing. We're just going to close the gate. Huge thick walls. Good luck. We're going to still race, still eat, drink. We're not, we don't even need a plan. What are you guys going to do? Do you see the giant walls? So this is what's cool. In the very first verse here, in chapter 6 of Joshua, we're going to go and it says, now Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, they secured the city, they locked the gates. The children of Israel had come up, And this is not the way you'd want the city to be. Like, if you wanted to come and attack the city, you'd be like, and they didn't know we were coming. Nobody had any idea. And the giant gates were still giantly open, and we just all snuck in. Like, that's how you'd want if you're going to attack that city. That's what you're looking for. Not, and it's all shut up, right? Mm-hmm. This is not what you want. None went out and none came in. That's not the version of the city you want to attack. There's nobody coming in and out. The doors are all shut and locked. It's all sealed up. And then this is cool, and it says it in 2. It says, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. That's still, sometimes I'm going to preach a message to you, and your face is telling me the same thing that their face was telling God. You're like, so the Lord has given me this into my hand, and you're just thinking like, it's worse than it was when before we came around the mountaintop. They locked it up. It was better before the mountaintop. Do you see it's sealed up? And God's going, see, it's as strong as it's going to possibly get, and I've given it to you. That's God sometimes. Oh, it's as impossible as it could possibly be. I've given it to you. God's saying it like he's excited, like it's a gift. Like when you give something to somebody and you're like, I can't wait till you open this. I can't. You ever given one of those gifts? Not the gift where it wasn't a gift where you cared about it and you gave it to him and you're like, I can't wait to get out of here before you open it. Please don't open this in my presence. The kind where you're like, I'm not going anywhere till you open this gift. Those kinds. Because those kinds you can always tell. Those people are just standing there looking at you like, I don't care what else you say. Just get to the, like, don't put it down. Don't put it down. Pick it up. Let's open that. Open that in front of me. That's the way God's acting with them. Like, open this in front of me. This is a special gift. I've given this to you. I'm excited, guys. Look, it's yours. I've already told you I gave you the promised land. I've already told you I'm going to give you this place. And then look, they're all sealed up in here nice and tight for you. I've given it to you. I'm just telling you, God is trying to tell you a lot of times, I've given you this, I've given you this victory, I've given you this answer, and you are going to be looking at God with that same kind of face. What answer? What? Now with this? This looks not like you've given it to me. It actually looks worse now than it did a minute ago. God, if a minute ago people were coming and going, now it's sealed. Now you're going to tell me you've given me this sealed up, fortified city. All of its mighty men. Even its king. You've given me, okay. This is the way that we treat God, even though God's looking at our situation totally differently than we do. You see, God's not like us. I made my mind up a long time ago. I am going to act like a Christian and be like a Christian, regardless whether you do or not.
Yeah,
I don't care who the you do is.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
In other words, if you want to be mad at me, be mad at me. But I'm not going to act like something's wrong. I'm going to treat you just like I would if you weren't mad at me. Because I don't care about what you're going to do. It won't adjust my trajectory. I'm going to stay angled upwards. I'm going to stay positive. You be as negative as you want to. I'm not going to get involved in the negative pool.
Come on.
I won't do it. I played around in it too long.
Come on.
I've been there for too long. I had an address. People sent me mail there. I was in negative land. It doesn't do you any good. Has anybody here had success pouting their way to success? Anybody? Have any of you been so angry that you finally fixed your situation? Does it work?
No.
I mean, I'm just wondering if the mystery, maybe I missed a spot. I thought I examined everything in the Negativeville. Maybe I missed a door or a house. Does any of it fix anything? But what about if you worry on it real hard? Maybe we're not taking into account. Maybe you're the kind of person who can worry on it even in your sleep. Does that fix it? Did it make it better, though? It probably made it better. It didn't.
Nope.
So the positives of being negative don't exist.
Come on.
I'm just glad we covered that. I was confused a second ago. Just making sure we all know. It is not worth being negative. See, God is positive even though they're sure it's a negative. God is happy. Look, I've given it to you. Oh, they're sure it's not. You've given it to me. They're sure it's bad. Then he gives them directions, and this is the way God is. But this is important because if the first thing you do when God says, hey, I've given this to you, is you go, I'm going back to the wilderness. Directions are not coming. Directions are coming for the people that are still standing there.
That's right.
That's why some of us get it and some of us don't.
Come on.
There's a little bit of wisdom on the other side of don't quit. And he says, you shall march around the city, all of you men of war. You shall go around to the city once. This shall you do 6 days. So God's telling them to do what? This isn't hard. He's saying march around that city. Every single day you're going to go around the city once around the city, once around the city, once around the city. This isn't an exercise program, a regiment. This isn't a new version. You don't have to be on keto to do this. This is just a supplement. This is not God trying to get him just some leg work. But if you hear just that part and then you quit, like you're like, oh, Mart, this isn't my thing. God doesn't know. Like, I normally do that when we find out what events are. If my wife's like, we're going to go hiking in the woods, I'm like, but how about four-wheelers? It has all the benefits of hiking with less bug bites. They can't keep up with you if you do it the way I do it. They can't, nothing can. And she'll do things like that. You know, she said to me, she'll trick me. She goes, the kids found this spot that we love and we want to go take pictures in, and it's right by the water. She knows I love water. I'm a sucker for let's go to a beach. Yeah, let's go. I love it. Let's go. And we get there, and she's like, it's just a couple miles down there. I'm like, there's no place where you park by it? A couple miles through the trees. This is hiking. You just masked hiking with the destination. You got me all about the destination, and then you put a Jericho right in between me and what I wanted to be at. Yeah, it was stronger for sure. She has trained well. But she'll do this with more than just that. She'll be like, why don't you just come go on a little bike ride with me? And we get out there, and I'm just like, about 4 miles or so, 5 miles in, I'm just going like, this is not a bike ride. A lot of people call this a marathon. We're just on a thing with wheels. This is not a bike ride stopped miles ago. Like, that was a bike ride. This is a cardio exercise, and you trick me. I know what this is. My body's telling me what this is. My legs are telling me what this is. If that's where you quit, march around the city. Did he say, you're going to win yet? No. Did he say, what am I going to do with this yet? No. If you quit when it's time to just march, what are you going to do? March. Yeah, but what am I going to do? March. But I want something to do. March. Give me something else, God.
Come on. That's what we do.
Don't we do something? I have this cool sword I've been practicing. What do I get to stab with it? You know, the scabbard. Now march. I'm just saying, this is a real thing that happened. Imagine how you would feel. If this was the command, like, go around the city 6 days, walk around it once, come and sit down. You'd be like, we're going to be the biggest fools in all of history. And they're just going to throw rocks down and kill us all. Like, march around the city. This is our game plan. Imagine this in the military. How well do you think this would go as a cool defense? Like, how do you think this would have been back in, like, any of the wars we've watched in modern day? They flew in the Apaches, they circled around the city, and they left. Like, I don't think that's going to be very productive. We rode our tanks, big circles around their little caravans, and we left. We came back in with our tanks, and we did it the next day. Like, I don't think that's the way. God's trying to make you look stupid when you think you know how to do it. And I promise you, he probably wasn't sending in people to go and whittle away at the, you know, hammer the stones on some of these days. Like, you guys march and distract them, and the guys in the back hammer, you know, get away at that mortar. That's not what's happening. He's trying to get their mindset at, you're going to listen, you're going to serve, come and do this. A little bit of it's that, and a little bit of it's God saying, listen, you marched around in that wilderness for 40 years. I'm going to redeem you by getting your rear end's going to march in the right direction this time around a real enemy, and you're going to have to trust me. This you shall do 6 days. And seven priests, say priests. Priest. You're supposed to be a kingdom of priests. We're all supposed to be a priest unto God. If you don't act like a priest, that's your fault. And that's probably going to be to your detriment. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people will shout with a great shout, and then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. He gives them the whole plan. Now, if you keep going on and reading, you get to hear more about the details of the plan. But God gives them the whole plan of what's going to happen. He's showing them, here's how to be more than a conqueror. He's teaching them that. He's trying to teach them that. You know, and half of us don't know what it's like to even act like or think like a conqueror. We don't know what it's like to be a victor in our own life. We don't even accept the fact that God could be giving us these instructions saying, hey, this is what you got to do. Just keep marching. Just keep marching. Just keep marching. And then on the right day, I'm going to give you a chance, and you're going to use your mouth, and you're going to shout for me. And then the walls are going to come down. Say the walls.
The walls.
Those are the things that keep you out or keep things in, and they're going to come down. So that thing that you can't seem to get out of your life, the walls come down, it gets to leave. And the thing you can't seem to get involved in your life or breakthrough in your life, the walls come down and you get to have breakthrough.
Yes.
That's what a wall coming down is, it's breakthrough.
Yes.
Right? But you see, as Christians, I said this a minute ago, we're supposed to be a kingdom of priests. We're supposed to understand who we are in God. And the Bible actually says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But one of the biggest lacks of knowledge that we have in the body is, who in the world are we before God? As a person of God, as a human before God, who are we? Who is God in us? How is he working us?
Yeah.
We miss that. We don't carry ourselves like a Christian.
Come on.
You know, I told Miguel, I said, everything I do is ministry. Because he said to me, he said, if this isn't a ministry thing, you know, let me know. And I said, well, it's everything I do is a ministry thing. Everything. Yeah, everything. Go to the beach? Everything. Go to the dentist? Everything. Well, surely not when you run down to the store to get everything. How? Because that's who I am. Everywhere I go, there is an opportunity for somebody to receive from God. So I am on duty everywhere I go. I'm a priest before God. I'm always on duty. And that is not something that is set aside for somebody that is a pastor or an apostle, a prophet. That is for all of us, that where you go, there is the opportunity for God to go. Whether you act like it or not, it is there on you. There is a divine appointment. This is the way I view myself. I think when I go into a room, there is the possibility of change, that everything in that room can change. The atmosphere should change. Those people should change. Attitudes got to start coming up. Things can be adjusted. Lives can be transformed. Why? Because I'm awesome? No. No. If you've never heard my testimony, let's hear a little bit about who I am. I'm not going to do it this morning, but go back and you'll find out, oh, no, you're not awesome. God must be then.
Yeah, amen.
That's the whole point. You're a divine connection between heaven and earth, and you're there for everybody around you to be able to have that interaction between God and man. And if you treat yourself that way, it'll matter. Now let's talk a little bit about dress. Why does dress up matter? We're a church that kind of, if you can't tell, we dress up a little bit. Why? Does it mean you have to wear a suit? What do you think? No. Does it mean you have to wear dress slacks? No. Why do I dress up like this? Anybody have a guess? Because it changes the way. Have you ever dressed up for something and been fancy? You know how you feel? Don't you feel different? Don't you walk different? You do. I promise you, you do. Why do you? Because you're thinking of yourself differently. You ever went on a date and you thought, you know, hey, babe, when are you going to be ready? Oh, you're out. And then she comes out and you can tell, like, you were just thinking we're going to go to McDonald's. But she came out like, you're not taking me to McDonald's. And you realize that as soon as she comes around the corner, you're like, oh, this isn't a McDonald's? This isn't, I'm in sweatpants. Like, I thought we were, no, this just changed. I'll be right back. Luckily for men, it only takes us like 2 minutes and we can get in full garb. We're not the same as ladies. Like, you know, we, done. It's not the same. But what I'm saying is, in these moments, when you are dressed up, you have a different air about yourself. You don't even walk the same way. You're more careful when you get in and out of vehicles, or when you're going to touch something, or something messy is there. You're more careful with yourself, right? Mm-hmm. You think differently about yourself. I've watched people literally do this. I've watched the difference. When you are in your sweatpants getup, we all have them, whatever version yours is. In Florida, it should be probably shorts, but whatever. When you're in your getup, your comfy, you know, PJs. Now, my son's young enough that he still wants to wear those everywhere. Not this son, the other one. But he wants to wear them anywhere. You give him a onesie, he'll be out here right now this morning in it if we didn't stop him. It doesn't matter. No problems. All of us would be if we could get away with it. If they made a onesie in my size, I'd own it. Just be like, well, look at this thing. It stretches everywhere. There's nothing but room in here. Like, this is awesome. This is nothing restricted. Like, this is great. I get it. I understand. I wish they did, but they don't. And if they do, I wouldn't tell you about it. So what happens when you dress up and you wear your best, your good stuff? I don't care what your good stuff is. I told the guys I have a pair of jeans that are good jeans. These jeans, I'm not normally even a jean guy. I probably own 2 pair. That's probably what I own, but they're good ones. They're the kind of jeans that have given them. And if you're not a guy who's worn jeans, You don't know, maybe, I found out that women have known about this for years. My wife's like, oh yeah, a lot of our clothes do. I'm like, why? Why did they hide this from the men? They gave us all these stupid jeans that as soon as you bend down, your knee gets that stupid crease, and you can't even stay squatting down very long because the creases that are underneath between your knee, your thigh, and your, you don't know what I'm talking about? We wear regular jeans. That's what denim was to us. We didn't know there was jean material that had some give. When you'd bend down, your knee would be like, ah. You're like, this is ridiculous. I should have had these all my life. This just came on the market. And that, she told me, no, of course, no. These are, most of our clothes does this. And I'm just like, anyway, when you're dressed up in your best, you're going to treat yourself different. Yourself. Do you hear what I said? Yourself. You're going to treat yourself different. If you won't look at yourself in the right eyes, do you really think you're going to look at someone else in the right eyes? I tell people this all the time. I had to lose hope in myself before I would lose hope in other people. I had to hate myself before I could hate other people. I had to give up on myself. Do you hear what I said?
Come on.
I had to not care whether I lived or died to go after somebody else's life and not care about them either.
Come on.
It's true. This is true. If you can't treat yourself with respect, if you can't treat yourself with dignity, if you can't treat yourself like you are somebody, you will never, don't lie to me. Don't lie to yourself. Don't trick yourself. If that's what you do to yourself, don't you think you're going to do that to other people? If you disrespect yourself, you don't think that's going to carry on and you're going to disrespect other people? You got to treat yourself like you are who you are in God.
Amen.
Like you are a man or woman of
yes.
God. If you're going to get anywhere. Now, to finish up on the end of this story, we hear that God tells them what to do. We hear that there's going to be trumpets that blow. We hear, listen, some of you are on your fifth time around the city. Okay?
Come on.
Now, this could be 5 years.
Come on.
This could be 10 years. This could be 20 years. But the city still looks like a city. The city still looks like the same wall. It still looks like the same insurmountable task. Did anything change on the fifth day?
Mm-mm.
Nothing. Not anything. Same bird sitting up there pooping on stuff. Nothing. Nothing changed. Not a thing.
Come on.
Wind
Come
is still the same.
Come on.
No, the sun didn't start to darken. Fear came on it. Nothing changed. 5 days doing what God said, nothing's changed. Let's quit. No. It says in Romans 8:35, if you go there real quickly, we'll read this. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? An amazing statement. Then it says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It's giving you a whole list.
Come on.
Should these things? No. Another way to say this, our modern way to say this would be, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ.
Yeah.
That'd be our modern way of saying it. There's nothing that should. What about his personal battle? Nothing that should. What about this big fear thing that came? Nothing that should. What about a Jericho? Nothing that should. There's nothing that should. Now it goes on to say, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, down in verse 37. I love this, and you can go and read this on your own time, but we've quoted this as Christians, yet a lot of Christians don't even ask themselves, what in the world is more than a conqueror? We all know what a conqueror is. How do you become more than one? How do you become more than a conqueror? What even is that? What does more than a conqueror mean? If we start asking Christians, I guarantee you some of the people in here, it just depends on how indoctrinated you are in the idea of Christianity that you might come up with a Christianese type thing to tell me, and I'll translate it for everybody else, and we'll be like, this is what this person's thinking that you're saying. And that's when a little kid would come up with Moses, and we'll be like, no, it's not Moses this time, dearie. Like, Jesus? No, it's not Jesus. You know, Abraham, it's David? No, these are my go-tos, though. They work on most things. Like, Samson? No, it wasn't. What I'm trying to tell you is, how do you become more than a conqueror? More than a conqueror is somebody that was happening right here. God was teaching them how to be one. It's somebody who already knows before you conquer that you're going to conquer. More than a conqueror is somebody who has the insight to know that God's already given them this victory. They have the insight ahead of time, and they've conquered even before they've conquered.
Amen.
That's a more than a conqueror. A conqueror is somebody who can win. Somebody who wins before they even show up, that's more than a conqueror. That's beyond just being a conqueror. That's somebody who's conquered before they even have done the battle. So what I'm saying to you is, some of us, I understand this. All we want is our home. How about that? I have a family. I have kids. All I want is home. Can I have peace in home?
Yes.
You know what it's like to, can I have peace in my home? Or all we want is some financial breakthrough. We're tired of having ramen as our dinner, you know, as our lunch, and then peanut butter spoons as breakfast. Can I give you some advice? Step one, treat yourself different. Well, I don't know about that, Pastor. I treat myself pretty. I said treat yourself different. I didn't say go out and get a manicure, pedicure. You know, I've got nothing against those things. They'll keep your nails. I only found out about those as a guy, you know, later on in life. And I was like, wait a second, my stuff doesn't snag on things. Oh, and I don't have to do that stupid thing myself. You know, oh, it's nice. Anyway, be mad if you want to until you go get one. It's like getting a massage. You ever get your shoulders massaged or somebody works on your back properly versus never having had that? The first time somebody does that, you're like, oh my gosh, what? Ah, I can move again. Oh, look. I'm just telling you, there's things. So what I'm saying to you this morning is this. If you don't change the way you treat yourself, you will not change the way you treat other people, whether you want to or not, whether that's your intent or not. Do you hear what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, if you wake up in the morning, let's give this, I'll throw you, Lance, under the bus. You get up this morning. It's early in the morning. You're tired. You're in PJs, whatever it is. It could be just a pair of shorts. If it's Florida, that makes sense. Even now it's cold, probably the full-blown setup. But here you are, chilling out, relaxing. Now, you just decide, about an hour after you get up, I'm staying in these. That day is a bum day. Like, if she sees you that day, she'll be like, what's going on here? Right?
Come on.
You're just staying at home today anyway, but you just stay in your PJs. What did you accomplish today? I sat there good and long. Have any of you ever been a great, victorious, more than a conqueror in your PJs day? Have you? No. You can't. You haven't treated yourself different. Now, let's say you have the same day going. You're both going to be home the whole day, right? This is the plan for the day. But when you get up, you get yourself dressed up and you dress yourself sharp. You guys have been in the military. Guess what's one of the things that they're going to check on you when they come and do an inspection? Everything. Everything's what they're going to check on you. Everything. You can't have your gig line off. Can you? No, they're going to grab it, straighten it, pull it, and be like, get it right. You know, and then you get to have this extra cool chore. Everything. I'm telling you, everything. I couldn't see my teeth in your shoes. Everything. Now, let's say you get up that same day and you sharpen the whole thing up. You come dressed up. You know what she's going to ask you? Where are you going? Where are you going? That's what she's going to ask you. It's going to come out of her mouth. She won't even mean to. Where are you going? Why? Well, you're dressed like somebody who's going somewhere. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Come on.
I'm just staying here, but I'm more than a conqueror. I am going somewhere in life.
Amen.
You want to stay placed where you are in a wilderness, dress like, act like, and treat yourself like a wilderness person.
Come on. There
you're ready for sandstorms. You throw in that big sheet over everything. You're just going to look like a stay-at-home bum. You want to get yourself sharpened up and act like you're going somewhere, you'll start going somewhere. It's one of the things that he was trying to teach them. Get yourself together. Do you think that they went out and marched around Jericho in their underwear? I don't. Do you think that they did it in their PJs? Sweatpants. Oh no, battle. Battle array. Swords and weaponry. Do you hear what I said? Yeah. Not dingy. Do you know one of the first things that the military will teach you is how to look the part. Now, they're going to teach it to you by being like, they don't say, oh, that's a stupid hairstyle. They go, zoop. You're like, oh, you didn't like it. I'm all right. Like, everybody gets that. Long hair, short hair. They could even like it. They'll be like, oh, that's cool the way you got that zoop. And you're like, oh, I got the same head as everybody's head. Yeah, but they're going to teach you how to tighten your stuff up and to look a part, because they know if you don't care about the way you look, if you don't care about who you are, this is why, if you ever wonder why people dress up when they come to church, it better surely not be to impress one another. If that's why you're doing it, you already failed. I'm sorry. I've never went to church and been like, wow. If that's the reason you're doing it, you failed. I don't care what your best is, but when you get your best and you go before God, you'll treat yourself different, you'll treat God different, and you'll treat other people different, and you might reach somebody.
Come on.
You might see a wall fall down.
Come on.
Okay? Six times around the wall, nothing's changed. I'm trying to help you figure out how to change some of it. Step one, treat yourself different. You hear what I said? Dress up, sharpen up, get your weapons out. You might be, yeah, if all you've done is walked around in the wilderness for 40 years, walking around a city doesn't seem like much of a change, does it? But it is different because you're listening now, you're obeying now, you're submitted now, you're somebody who's saying there's a structure and a belief system now, you're somebody who's heard a word from God now, and you're going to listen to what God said now. You're somebody who's gotten the sword out instead of leaving it packed away in that, you know, the trunk. You got the word of God back out again for your family. You hear what I'm saying? You don't like it. But you can tell right away people who have a Bible life and people who don't. Why? People that don't are so offended. Very easily offended.
Come on, that's right.
So angry. Yep. So upset. So vindictive. So malicious. So enemy-like. Because they don't have this going in. That. Well, Pastor, I read. When? How much? What time are you putting in it? I'm a Christian. I believe it. Trust me. You have to understand that there has been a lot of wind in this wilderness. You want to come out of it? Dust your sword off.
Come on.
Sharpen your gear up.
Yeah.
Treat yourself like you're going somewhere if you're going to go somewhere.
Amen.
I told Ernesto this in the beginning. I said, I'm not going to give you, like, here's $1 million. You know, now you're wealthy. I'm going to give you opportunity. That's what I'm going to give you. Options and opportunity, and it will be up to you to take advantage of them. I told Miguel this morning on the way to church, I said, my father had called me and was telling me some things that were going on over there this morning, and I said, you know, my younger brother Joshua is teaching his little boy, who's little, drums. And he sent me a picture of him the other day on piano, and I taught Joshua piano and drums. And so when I was teaching him drums, I told him, this is what you do, Joshua, this is what you do. Just go, when you go to the drums, I said, you go to the drums, you sit down, and this is, he's standing here. This is what you do. You grab this and you go, this is it. This is where you live. I didn't add in extra kicks. I didn't add in fancy stuff. I didn't double things up. This is where you live, right here. And he learned that one simple thing. He sat there with me and learned a simple, regular, standard, not exciting, not fun beat. And then I didn't teach him another thing. I did down the road, but not then. I said, go and learn that beat. Go practice that beat. And then I watched him, and he would be in the church when the church's lights were off, and he'd pop a light on, and he'd be in there with his little headset on, and he'd be practicing that beat. Just that simple beat. But because he had a burning desire in himself and he was chasing that thing down, I was able to come in and teach him the next thing and the next thing and the next thing because he had a hunger. I wouldn't make him, do you see what I'm saying? But I gave it to him once he was chasing it. That's the way God treats us. He will never make you. He wants you to have victory more than you do. He wants you to have answers more than you do. You may want them, but he wants them more for you than even you do. But he will not force them on you. That is not the God we serve. He's not going to make you have a victory. He's not going to make you have an answer. He is going to give you the opportunity for one, and then what will you do with it? So my advice to you is this morning. If you want to see things start to change, how about start with you? You start changing. You want to see people treat you better? How about start treating yourself better and start treating people better? Why? Because that will have the effect of your life changing. You want to start see your situation change? Get your sword back out. Start to polish it up. Obey God. Dress yourself the way that you should actually dress yourself. Even if all you're doing today is sitting at home, dress up a little. Because you can't handle the psychological warfare that will go on in your head and the depression that will sit on you, even though you think you can. Oh, you think you can. If you sit there dressed down, eventually it will be like a blanket you have to overcome, and you'll feel negative, and you'll feel like a bum, and you'll feel like somebody who's going nowhere. This is exciting. You know, this morning we had a live praise and worship. We had people up here. It's just the beginning, but it's live. It's better than any recorded praise and worship because there's people.
Yeah, amen.
But That's just the very beginning. It's the beginning steps of what it will be. It's the beginning. But everybody who's part of this knows, did it just happen? Yeah, we just came this morning and just poop, a song just... No, we practiced. We got together. It's going to get better and better and better and better. Why? Practice, work, right? Can you learn an instrument without ever putting any practice in? Can you get wealthy without ever putting any effort in? Do you get something without ever putting that? No, it works the other way around. Try going to a bank later on today and just say, I'd like to withdraw some money. And they'll go, oh, you don't have an account here. And you go, yeah, but I would really like some money. You don't understand my bill situation. If you could give me a few $1,000s. You don't have money in the account. Well, I understand that, but I need some money. So I'd like to withdraw some. But you don't have any. It doesn't work that way. Do you see what I'm saying? God is reactive. And so he was reacting to the people's obedience. God could have just went like this with his thumb, crushed Jericho, it's all over. Right? Could he? Yes. Instead, he decided, I'm going to make it predicated this victory on your obedience to walk around a wall six times and then a seventh. And I'm telling you, if you want to act like a Christian that doesn't read the word, then you're not giving God a voice in your life. And I promise you, you're going to end up just like the Adam and Eve situation. You're going to let somebody have a voice in your life. It won't be the right thing. And you're going to not follow the right plan. And you're going to end up finding your way into sin. And you're going to find yourself out with depression, warring on depression, feeling bad about yourself. If you don't start to change the way you dress and act, I promise you, depression will ensue. And depression will make you feel heavy. And you'll have a hard time. Have you ever faced it? A hard time just feeling good about today. How stupid that a Christian could have a hard time feeling good and happy about what's coming next when we have a God telling us what's coming next. How pathetic of us to war so hard on feeling good when God tells us the answers ahead of time and says that he's going to give us the victory and says we can be more than conquerors with him and says he'll surely deliver us and tells us ahead of time you're going to encounter various trials, various warfares, various battles. He pre-warns us, and then when we face them as Christians, we're like, what is this? Well, that's because faith is so easy to talk about till you have to use it. The shield is amazing to show your friends. Look how shiny my shield is. It has this cool design on it, and a cross is on it, and everything. And then when you have to use your faith, it's hard all of a sudden. All of a sudden, you want to make the excuse, well, what did we mess up? Well, nothing. God thought you were a warrior. He put you out there. He didn't know you were a pansy. He didn't even see the daisies on the back of your shield. That's why he put you right in battle thinking you'd fight. He didn't know you were going to be a coward.
Come on.
Until you have to use your faith. A lot of Christians talk a big talk when faith isn't being used. When you're not personally being stretched. See what their message changes when they start going through a trial or a trouble or a hard thing. For me and my wife, when we go through things, we're going through things almost all the time. We have to go through something. If we started sitting there going, another one, another thing, we have to pray for this, we need somebody healed, we need some breakthrough here, what kind of pathetic warrior is that? Not another fight, Jesus.
Come on.
That's not the kind of warrior I am. I'm the kind of warrior you don't want to meet if you're the enemy. That's not me being, you know, ooh, that was a strong thing to say. It was a strong thing from somebody who's strong. I'm a fighter. If God even pretends like he wants somebody taken down, I'm going, where? Where? Let's get it. I'm careful. My wife knows this about me. I'll protect my faith so that I don't lose my faith. I guard it. We'll do it for each other sometimes. We'll say, okay, I'm going to take this information and deal with this. You keep your faith and pray for this, and then we're going to have victory here. Because we can't, if we expose ourselves to this too much, we'll get depressed. We'll get upset. We'll get negative. We'll start feeling like it's not going to work. Whose plan is that, guys? Success and failure, whose plan's failure? The devil's or God's? Failure's the devil's. Why in the world would a Christian start to listen to the voice that says failure?
Come on.
Why in the world would we listen to the voice that says destruction, the voice that says the Jericho walls are insurmountable, they're impossible, you can't have victory? Guys, if you're in your life and you're on the sixth lap and nothing has changed, not a thing has changed, every stone is still in place, the enemy is still taunting you, they're still partying, you can hear the noise, they don't even care that you're there, it doesn't seem like you're having any impact on the thing that you need impact on. Six times around the same loop, it's the same story, I've seen this rock before, I've fought these fights before, it's always the same, why are you always the same? You could say this with your loved ones. Why are you the same? How come you always do this? Have you ever said you've always to somebody? Stop saying that.
Yeah.
Stop saying that.
Yeah.
Why do you always? Stop doing that. Don't curse your loved ones. It doesn't help. It doesn't help. You always doesn't matter. Some of us have been an always. You always mess up. You always make mistakes. You always come. We got to quit that.
Yeah, come on, that's good.
Quit the you've always. Quit the you're just a. We got to quit that kind of garbage. You won't treat yourself right. You won't have a victory if you do that. But we've got to be the kind of people who say, even though we've marched around this wall six times, even though we've been through the same thing six times, there is still victory because God said there will be victory. We have to have enough courage and faith that five times in, we go, okay, let me get the sword back out. Let me get my clothes dusted off. Let me get myself straightened up. I'm ready for battle. They're going to see me when I'm marching around the wall because we're not even yelling at this point. They're just seeing. So they're going to see victory on me before I even have a victory. They're going to see on me that I look like somebody who's going to go somewhere. I'm going to have a victory. Those guys look like victory guys down there. They don't look like sweatpants guys. They don't look like just relax and chill kind of guys. They look like people that are, hey, honey, where are you going? Why? You're dressed like somebody who's going somewhere. Well, if you don't start somewhere in you, where do you think it's going to start for you? Somewhere else? God, start my victory. If you could please put the seed in my husband and start the victory in him, that would certainly help me have victory. Oh, you don't think so? You don't know how many marriage counselings I've been to where people think exactly that. If blank and blank would change, they're causing all of my situation. It's a lie. It's a full-on lie. Oh, they came in and robbed your faith? Who can separate you? But you don't, that's my spouse. A who?
Ooh.
Well, it's my work. No, who? What can separate you again from the love of Christ? Nothing is supposed to separate
Come
you
on.
From the love of Christ. No battle, no war, no body. So if you can take Excuseville out of your life, stop the negative life, you will have friction with every positive real Christian lit with Jesus Christ if you're a negative. You ever take two things and touch a negative and a positive, sparks. If you're sparking all the time,
come on.
I'm trying to give you some help this morning. You've got to have enough faith to march around the building another seventh time and get yourself together and dress yourself up and stop saying to yourself, some of you came this morning saying the same thing. Some of you came this morning and I can see it in your eyes. I don't know where my hope is. I want to hope, but I even lost the hope part of hope. Where's your dream that you're chasing? Let's write down our dreams. Where's the one you're chasing?
Come on.
You still have the eyes of somebody who's been in a wilderness for 40 years and then around a building six times and you haven't seen a rock fall. You still have those eyes.
Come on.
You have a hope of hope, but not even hope itself anymore. If we talk about a dream, you don't even know what the dream is that you're chasing. Some of you feel that way. I'm going to tell you something. You absolutely can change. You absolutely can do things. Absolutely the wall can fall down. And you may be having that wall last for what seems like ever. And 6 days may seem like an eternity, even though you spent 40 years in a wilderness of your life. And it may seem like it just will not go. But God has given you an answer. And if you will get yourself together and stand up for him and treat yourself like a Christian should treat themselves, it is not some weird Christianese thing I'm giving you to get in the word of God. It is me trying to tell you that your lack of peace is directly related to your lack of word, that your ability to be completely offended at people you should not be offended at is based on your lack of word going in, that your spiritual side of who you are is the side that brings positivity and hope and breakthrough and a Jericho crumbling, and your natural self will end up in a desert, dying off in peril, dusty fields, broken down things. And if you're experiencing desert instead of victory, you're feeding the wrong version of yourself. And if you don't start in yourself with the right seeds and start taking that somewhere good for God, you will not have a victory at a Jericho. Your walls will not come down. You will surely sit there in a desert drying out and feeling like your life is drying up. And the fact is, God has always wanted you to have a promised land. Before you even left Egypt, he gave you the hope of a promised land. He's always wanted you the whole journey to walk into the hope of his glory in the promised land. But if you rob yourself by how you treat, act, and live yourself, regardless of who and what is around you, then you will not have a Jericho moment. And that was the birth of Israel going into their promised land. After Jericho, they were more than victorious, more than conquerors, because the fear of them went out across that entire nation. Because you took down Jericho, our biggest city, they're coming. You want to be more than a conqueror, you're going to have to start by being a conqueror and believing that there is a victory even before you see a victory, and using that thing of faith that's hard to use, and believing when you want to quit and give up, and believing when you want to have doubt, and believing instead in a hope of glory. And instead of being a quitter, you start to be a fighter. And if you don't get that inside of your spirit, you will surely quit, and you will be the real reason. And even though you want somebody else to pay for it, you're quitting on your own life. Because we're all responsible for our own lives. You are the one between you and God that's responsible. You have a drunk alcoholic husband or spouse, it is still your fault of how you act and what you do with yourself. Not theirs. They don't have a right to stop you from God. What can? Who can? Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you.